Saying what a privilege and pleasure it is to have this opportunity to be with you here at the Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church. My wife and I are here, but I just wanted to say something about I've told Elder Martin this. For years, the first and third Sundays, I had an appointment at the Crossroads Church that's a member of the association that y'all are in Atlanta. I gave those appointments up, not because I didn't want to preach, but to give an opportunity, first of all, for Robert O'Hara to speak to us down there, and also give me an opportunity to hear other preachers. So I have the first and third that I don't have an appointment on a regular basis anymore, but it's primarily because I gave it up. I wouldn't want anybody to think that I come down here looking for a place to preach, because that's certainly not the case. I'm glad to be here with you. I'm always glad for any opportunity the Lord gives me to speak to His people in His name. But I'd have been just as happy to have walked in here just like all of you, took my seat and heard Elder Martin this morning. So I just wanted to make that clear. So he is calling me. So I will take a text and we'll see what the Lord has in it. I want to turn to a text that's familiar to most all of Primitive Baptists. And it's one that we understand when we read it, but others I don't think really do understand it. So we'll talk about that a little bit. It's found in 1 John chapter 4, and it says this: "We love Him because He first loved us. Now we understand, being primitive Baptists and understanding the doctrines of truth and the doctrines of those articles of faith you have out there in your hallway there, we understand based on what those say, what that really means. To us, that means that God loved us when there was nothing about us to cause God to love us.
Amen.
There was nothing that we did to cause God to love us. As a matter of fact, we understand and see that God loved us even before we were ever created or born in the wombs of our mother. We understand that before the foundation of the world, God had a people that he elected and he chose in a covenant of grace before the world was. Now others will look at this scripture and say this about it. Well, God is a God of love. God loves everybody. And God, since he loves everybody, then they don't have any problem with that we love him because he first loved us. Since God loved everybody, he's still waiting up in heaven for you to do something in order for him to do something and love you eternally speaking. That simply is not the truth of the matter. God loved us when there was nothing about us to cause us to love him. And the only reason we ever had any act toward God is because God first came to us, quickened us, and gave us eternal life. That's the simple truth of the matter. But I want to go down a little bit further. After he said that, and I want to particularly take the 21st verse as my text here. And then he goes on in the 20th verse, and he said, "If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen?" We see here that this is speaking of brotherly love. So what I'd like to talk to you about this morning, what little time I'll stand before you, is on the subject of brotherly love. Now, whenever I speak of brotherly love, I'm not speaking of like in a gender sense, like a male, even though it says brotherly. It's love from a brother to a brother. It's also love from a sister to a sister, or a sister to a brother, or a brother to a sister. It's a love that we all have one toward the other. And really, this love that he's speaking of here transcends further than just the love we have for one another as members of the true visible church that we all come together and worship in this morning. And that love extends not only to that, but others that we know that are not, that don't know the truth as we do. But they're children of God. They have evidence in their life that God has quickened them and given them life. They don't see things as we do. They don't understand the truth as it is in Christ. They worship God. They worship him in spirit, but they do not worship him in truth. But God seeketh such to worship him, that worship him not only in spirit, but also in truth. And that's why we've gathered here this morning, to worship the Lord in the spirit of the Lord that God has placed within us, but also in truth. So we want to talk about that brotherly love. And then in verse 21, which is the primary verse that I want to deal with this morning, it gives us here, and it's very crucial that we see this and understand what this 21st verse says. It says, "And this commandment have we from him." Now, brotherly love, the love that we have for others that are about us, whether it's those of us in the church, or those others that we know, or those that we know in our family, it can even be a brother to a brother. rather naturally. Me and my wife know of an incident, and I won't go into any details, where two brothers are at odds against one another. They won't speak. I'm talking about natural brothers. They won't speak to one another. They're just like they're not even members of the same family. That's a sad situation when fleshly brothers get that way with one another. And so this is also even to that. If you have a natural brother, it's a natural thing and a godly thing that you would love your natural brother. But this is speaking also of our brotherly love one toward the other as brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, and this commandment have we from him, that he that loveth God love his brother also. So if you love God, if you can genuinely say from your heart that you have a love toward God who saved you and called you out of darkness into the marvelous light of his Son, if you can say you love that God, then you ought to. It is a commandment unto you to love your brother also. Now there, I have heard of some churches and maybe have been to one or two where some of this went on, where there was families divided even among the primitive Baptist churches, where somebody did something to somebody 20 or 25 years ago and they just can't let go of it and can't forgive one another for it, and there's a conflict even between brothers in the same church. It's even a worse sad situation when that happens, because it ruins the spirit of God in the church in which that type of thing is going on. I certainly don't think and wouldn't believe that anything like that would be going on here, but let brotherly, let this commandment have we from him, that we love God, love his brother also. Now we want to take a look at some things that we'll find in the scripture about the love, a brotherly love, or the love that we have one to the other, and we'll find this about brotherly love. First of all, brotherly love. If you have genuine brotherly love, it is impartial. It's impartial, and we're going to find that over in the Old Testament. We'll find it said in the Old Testament in the book of Deuteronomy. It says in verse 19 there of chapter 10 of Deuteronomy, it says, love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. And you can understand what I'm saying here when it says a stranger. You know, I go all the time to other places. I can remember when I first retired, I always wanted to go out west to some of those meetings out there. I can remember going to a little place called St. Helens, Oregon, to a Northwest Pacific Primitive Baptist Fellowship meeting. And when I got there that night, those brothers, they were expecting me. They welcomed me with open arms. They were strangers. I never met them. That's the first time I'd ever seen them. But they made me feel right at home out there in Oregon, being from Georgia. And like I said, I'd called Elder E.L. Horn, who has passed on now. Elder Horn welcomed me, and all of the church and the other churches represented welcomed me. There was a brotherly love there toward me as a stranger, and me toward them as a stranger. So brotherly love is impartial. It's not partial to anyone. It's love that extends to any that loves the Lord, and any that you meet. It might be just walking down the streets of Cartersville next week, and somebody might pass you and be friendly and say good morning. It would be expressing love toward one one toward the other as a stranger. Brotherly love is impartial. It's not even to strangers we express and see brotherly love one toward the other. We can also say this about brotherly love. Brotherly love is unselfish. And I'm going to give you an example here that Jesus expressed himself. Now Jesus here in the 23rd chapter of the book of Matthew, he had come in contact with two different sects of people here. One were the Sadducees. Well, you see, the Sadducees were those sect of Jews that did not believe in the resurrection. Some Sadducees got together and they were going to trick Jesus because if there is a resurrection, they wanted to present to him an impossible situation. So they told him, they asked him this: if a man marries a wife and they have no children, and the man die, and then after he dies according to the law, his brother takes her as his wife and they have no children, and he dies, and they go all the way down to seven. Seven brothers have one woman as their wife, and then they ask him, who then shall she, whose wife shall she be in the resurrection? And of course Jesus expressed to them and told them that they erred, not knowing the scriptures, that in the resurrection they're neither married nor given in marriage. And then after this had happened, and there were some Pharisees there, and they heard that he had put to silence the Sadducees. You see, that was sort of a conflict there between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, the Pharisees, they were a legalistic group. They believed that by keeping of the law and doing and living life perfectly, and they believed that they did live life perfectly, they'd end up going to heaven because of the way that they lived their life. They lacked the knowledge that they were saved by grace through faith, and that it was not of themselves. It was a gift of God. They thought by doing the things that they were doing by the Spirit of God that indwelled them, they were saving themselves. They were legalists. So there was one here who had heard about Jesus putting the Sadducees to silence. He was a lawyer. He knew all the legal questions to ask Jesus to trick him. So he came to Jesus and he asked him a question, tempting him. And he said, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Now see what he was hoping to do. If he could get Jesus to say, thou shalt not kill, that would be a good one to say. That would be the greatest. Don't kill anybody. But Jesus didn't do that. Jesus, see, he said, if he could get him to say that, he'd have him right there. He'd say, well, he's saying it's okay to kill, but it's if you want to steal, that'll be maybe okay. But Jesus didn't say that. Jesus said, the greatest of all the commandments is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. This is the greatest. And the second is like unto this: love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, if you love your neighbor as yourself, that is an unselfish love. That is brotherly love. That will extend anything that you say that you do. If you love your neighbor as yourself, you will do well. Now, Jesus said this, and that was not the answer that this Pharisee was looking for. Why? Because first of all, if you love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your your mind and you love your neighbor as yourself, those others will just fall into line. You're not going to be killing anybody if you do that. You're not going to steal from anybody if you do that. So Jesus here told him, but the idea is love your neighbor as yourself. Brotherly love is an unselfish love. Now we want to turn over here a little further over into the Gospel of John, where we'll find this said about brotherly love. Brotherly love is an evidence of or a proof of your discipleship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Brotherly love, if you have brotherly love, that proves to others or shows to others or is an evidence to others that you are indeed one of His and that you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, it says there, beginning there at verse 33, little children, yet a little while, and I am with you, and ye shall seek me. And he said unto the Jews, whether I go, ye cannot come. So now I say unto you, a new commandment I give you, that ye love one another. There it is, brotherly love. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. I have loved, as I have loved you, then also that ye love one another. And then in verse 35, he says this, by what? By your love one to another, by your brotherly love one to another, By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, and if ye have love one toward another. It's an evidence and a proof that you are a disciple of Christ. Now we want to turn over, and we'll find in the book of John, chapter 15, that Christ is the one that set the standard for what brotherly love is. And Jesus said this in John chapter 15. He said in verse 12 here of chapter 15. Now chapter 15 is the chapter where Jesus is talking about him being the vine and us being the branches. And if any of you know anything about growing fruit from a vine, a muscadine, scuppernongs, grapes, you know it's got a main vine, and that main vine has branches that come off of it, and it's the branches that come off of that main vine the only thing that bears fruit. There'll be no fruit on any fruit vine except on the new growth that comes off. That's why you have to prune it back every year. You prune it back to the main vine, and the branches that come off of it bear the fruit. So Jesus in this 15th chapter is speaking to us about us being the branches and Him being the vine, us abiding in Him, and us the branches bearing the fruits of the Spirit of God. That there are ninefold fruits mentioned in Galatians chapter 5. If you abiding in Jesus, you will of course bear those ninefold fruits in your life. But here in this particular verse here, chapter 12, he expresses this about loving one another. He said, this is my commandment. Here it is again. It is a commandment that you have brotherly love one toward another. It's not a suggestion. It's not a good idea if you do. It is a commandment from God for us to love one another. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. You see, Jesus set the standard here for brotherly love. He said, you love one another as I have loved you. And this is another thing that Jesus said about his love that he had toward you, and I trust toward me. He said, greater love can no man have than that a man lay down his life for his friends. Yes, Jesus loved us so much that he went to the cruel tree of the cross and laid down his life to redeem us from our sins. And if Jesus did that for us, the least we ought to be able to do is to love one another. Brotherly love, one toward the other. Yes, we have saw some things about brotherly love. It is a love that is impartial. We even ought to love strangers, others we see. It's a love that's unselfish, loving your neighbor as yourself. It's a proof or an evidence that you're a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus set the standard for brotherly love. Love one another even as I have loved you. I thank you for your attention. I pray that you'll continue to pray and that the Lord will be with Elder Martin as he comes now to preach to you. Thank you.
Amen. What wondrous love is this, O my soul, O my soul. What wondrous love is this, O my soul.
Sinking down, sinking down.
sinful stream.